basically what you should be asking yourself is, as a business, what does this mean for us? You need to look at the website, kind of how your website was set up with the SEO, and make sure that you guys don't end, that companies don't end up on page 50 of the Google search based on previously used SEO methods. So definitely go have a look at your websites for that. Second story for the day, real-time bidding takes lead in digital advertising. This is from Kevin Dayton, who's from Schenker Network. He says the digital marketing landscape is a vastly changing one, and in recent years we have seen two trends emerge almost simultaneously. Firstly, real-time bidding, or RTB, has taken off and completely changed the face of digital advertising, and the rise of mobile is forever altered users' interaction with digital content. Now, these two are strolling hand in hand together and would seem like a no-brainer, but it isn't as easy a match as we'd imagine, and here's why. Firstly, what constitutes mobile? Are we talking feature phones, smartphones, laptops, and 3G cards or tablets? All these devices are streets apart in underlying functions, so it's simply and assume we are only dealing with mobile phones. In this regard, we are still faced with two scenarios: ads being injected into mobile applications and ads being injected into website viewed on a mobile browser. He goes into more detail about this and what it means for kind of getting the RTB ads inside a mobile application and a mobile browser. And then he also talks about the advertising potential for RTB. So go have a look at that. Third story for the day, global mobile consumer survey shows increase in mobile banking. So this is quite important for South Africa in particular. It says the global community for mobile content and commerce announced the results of its annual global consumer survey carried out in partnership with on-device research, and this reveals the behavior of mobile media users from across the world, giving data and intelligence into mobile engagement and purchasing habits. The 10-country annual study revealed that nearly 88% of the world's mobile media users now engage in mobile content and commerce. Basically, mobile commerce is defined as anyone using a mobile phone for research, purchase, or banking. The other key findings in the survey is mobile market is maturing, significant increases come from growth markets, of which Africa is one, the growth of physical purchases, and the convenience of entertainment, and the whole key to this is trust. So yeah, go have a look at that. There are some more details of the survey on the site. Second last story for the day, the difference between marketing, between content marketing and SEO. Content, and this is from Arthur Nasser from Juice Content, he's saying content marketing is not SEO. While they might overlap, content marketing and SEO are two distinct types of digital marketing. They are, however, mutually beneficial. So he goes on and talks about SEO and how it's kind of, how about it's setting up your site and making your site relevant for your target audience using specific keywords and tailoring this into insight-driven content, and you'll get organically create this relevance. However, having predefined keywords and SEO objectives driven by a sound marketing strategy will ultimately help you create the content required to help you indexing on your particular search terms. Then he goes on and talks about content marketing, and he says this is what attracts an audience to your brand by sharing tailor-made content across websites, social platform, blogs, mobile sites, and apps. It's an ongoing process that involves updating your content, which can be anything from infograms on how-to guides, and it's often to maintain and grow your following. So it's here that content marketing and SEO campaigns intersect. The keywords and links that are among the tools that drive SEO are found in content. He goes on and talks about how to create targeted content for your brand, so go have a look at that on the site. And then our last story is last week, the ABC Q3 figures were released. All the figures are on the site. Just a quick recap, Gordon Patterson, who is the MD of Starcom Media and the ABC vice president, he said it's going to be a tough Christmas. He's saying there's no doubt that while some titles continue to grow, overall the general poor health of the economy and cost-cutting measures by publishers will increasingly shape the print landscape. He's saying we have seen companies up for sale, others with new owners, and even within the most stable, the very real chance of retrenchments and further title closures. So go have a look at that. It does not sound good for the print industry. I still believe print, there's a definite place for it, but yeah, it seems like Cirque is dropping. We are going to take a quick song, and then we're going to come back with Rowena, and we'll see you after the Foo Fighters.
Biz Takeouts, the biz community marketing and media show on 2OV.FM.
Welcome back to Biz Takeouts. That was Foo Fighters with Everlong. As I mentioned previously, on tonight's show, we're doing agency focus and we're speaking to Y&R Advertising. And in studio, we've got Rowena Fester, who is the Y&R Cape Town Business Unit Director. According to the bio, it says Rowena's got 17 years in consumer communications experience, and you've built your experience working on high-profile global and local brands across the spectrum from FMCG, fast food, and financial services. You do not look like someone who's got 17 years experience. You look much younger than that, so well done on that fact.
Thank you.
But welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks, Warren. I like to tell people I'm not as young as I look.
Okay, well, do you act as young as you look?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. On Thursdays.
It's often required in advertising.
Yes, I definitely agree. I've seen you guys party. Yeah. Okay, I think let's start out. Let's kind of go back. Y&R, previously Young and Ruby Cam.
Yes.
Y&R SA, kind of, when did it form? How did it form? What's its ties with international? Because obviously being a global company. So how does that all work together?
Yeah. Well, let me take us back just a little bit. I think a lot of people know the brand Young and Ruby Cam or Y&R. A lot of people know that it's a brand that's and an agency that's been around for a very long time. In fact, the agency was formed in 1923 in the States, and it's pretty much considered, I think, around the world as one of the stable, safe, big agencies. What a lot of people don't tend to know about Y&R is that Y&R has been quite groundbreaking, quite pioneering around the world in some initiatives that have transformed the industry. So, for example, Y&R was the first agency that was run by creatives.
Okay, wow. Well,
God knows, that was probably a mistake.
I know, yeah, geez, I don't know how that works.
Yes,
yeah.
It seemed to work.
Yeah.
Y&R was the first agency to recognize the importance of TV commercials, who then set up a TV studio inside the agency. That was in the 50s. Y&R was the first agency to sample product.
Yeah.
In a magazine.
Okay, is this all?
So we pioneered sampling.
And this is across the world,
this
I take.
Across the world,
okay.
Yes. No, we're not only famous in South Africa, okay. Warren.
Yeah.
We're famous around the world.
Good.
Y&R was the first agency to open an office in Moscow. Y&R was the first agency to open an office in China.
Okay, sure. Are you allowed to advertise in communist states?
Well, we do try.
Okay.
We're also the first agency to use a proprietary research tool, which we developed, which we've been using for 20 years, which measures brands across the world on a variety of measures to test the strength of brands. We measure 45,000 brands around the world.
Jeez.
We were the first agency to set up a tool of that kind. We were also the first agency in the world to build an integrated model.
Yeah.
So a lot of firsts, and I think it might be surprising for a lot of people to know that. Y&R, as I say, traditionally associated with being sort of big and safe,
yeah,
but also quite pioneering and quite iconic.
Okay.
In South Africa, the agency was formed about 40 years ago with Pick n Pay as a founding client. Some of our early clients included Colgate, Danone, and in fact, globally, we work with some of the biggest brands in the world.
Okay.
Land Rover, Virgin Atlantic, Colgate, Microsoft, Xerox.
Wow. Some really big players there.
Some really big players.
Okay, and that's, you're talking about Y&R South Africa now. Those are your
Y&R
international
South Africa,
clients.
Some of our bigger clients, of them are. Chevron, I forgot out that list. Colgate, Danone, Jaguar, Land Rover.
Okay.
Some of our biggest clients in South Africa.
And then how much influence do you get from the overseas? I'm going to call it HQ. So like obviously a Y&R, I imagine it's America. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, so how much influence do you have from the States going, this is what you have to do, this is the brand, this is the corporate feel?
Look, it differs from client to client.
Okay.
So it depends on what the model is that the marketing function is predicated on. Some of them are decentralized. Some of them have global head offices that dictate.
Yeah.
What the agency network allows us to do is to access best practice globally.
Yeah.
For some of our bigger global clients, there are dedicated agency teams that are focused on their clients around the world. So we're able to access, for example, Chevron in the States.
Yeah.
If we're wanting some guidance or wanting to understand something that we're battling with here, particularly in this country.
I must say, I always find it a bit strange. Like I know, especially, look, I've got some contacts within the clothing industry, and it's kind of, if it's an international brand, they're launching their summer range in Europe, and they're trying to push that onto South Africa, and we're like, but it's winter's going on here. So how does that work dealing with international companies? Do they understand the South Africa and African market, or do you think it's very much one brush stroke kind of covering it all?
I think what we started seeing far more, marketers have become far smarter.
Okay.
About implementing global strategies locally because they've had to.
Yeah.
And because we've seen what's happened in developed markets over the last couple of years, that the power is coming from the developing markets. Mm-hmm. So it's no longer a case of this is the dictate from head office and so it shall be around the world. There's a lot of cognizance taken of local conditions, local consumer needs, local consumer attitudes. What our network allows us to do is to collaborate between markets so that the solution you're offering your client here is generally informed by the best minds around the world who have grappled with similar problems.
But, and yet the purse string is still held by the head office, which is... which you always need to massage that ego a little bit.
Sometimes.
Yes. Okay, I think let's focus very much on Y&R South Africa. I think, obviously, you guys consider yourself a full service agency.
Yes, we do.
What are the various departments within Y&R SA?
Look, we're... Y&R considers ourselves a... we offer sort of best-in-class service. So, your traditional services... account management, obviously, production, strategic planning, creative. We outsource the work with partners for those disciplines that aren't offered in-house. So we have media partners that we work with. We have digital and mobile partners that we work with. We have PR partners that we work with. We have CRM partners we work with. The philosophy being one that we like to articulate as best alone, better together.
Perfect. Okay, that makes complete sense. Mm-hmm. So you guys are a full-service agency with the full service kind of forming between yourself and the partners you've set
ourselves
up agreed.
And a partner as required by the client or just ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's an interesting question, but we're going to get to that later about when we talk about clients and how you clients work with different agencies. So, okay, you call yourself a full-service agency. How obviously, it hasn't always been like that, considering your 40-year history. How's that expansion kind of happened? Was it client-driven or was it Y&R-driven? Where did that come from?
I'd say probably been a combination of both. Generally, we like to be responsive to the needs of our clients, providing them what they need, but also taking cognizance of what's happening around the world in terms and looking at what consumers are responding to, what consumers are reacting to, and putting ourselves in a position to be able to tap into, understand, and provide solutions for that. So it's probably been a bit of both.
Okay, great. Okay, then one quick question before we take another song. What makes Y&R the best full-service agency in SA and the world? What is Y&R's like unique selling point?
Well, we work along the our three core principles, and we call it that is what we call insight, idea, impact.
Okay.
And fundamentally, we do what we can to best mine insights that tap into what consumers really need and what will really move them. We then articulate that into ideas that we believe will deliver the best results that will move consumers and that deliver impact for our clients. And what that means for us is not just about an ad that makes you smile, an ad that makes you laugh, or an ad that makes you cry.
Yeah.
It's about a piece of communication that is going to make an impact on our customers' bottom line.
Yes, which is the key point of anything,
which
really
is the holy grail for us.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick song and then we're going to come back and we're going to speak about kind of the agency environment within South Africa, so kind of the playing field you guys are playing in, and then we'll start talking about some clients that you're working with.
Sure.
But before we get to that, let's take some Black Keys and we'll be right back after this.
Little black submarines operator, please put me back on the line. Told my girl I'd be back, operator, please. This is wrecking my mind. Oh, can it be? The voice is calling me. They get lost and out of time. I should have seen it glow, but everybody knows that a broken heart is blind, that a broken heart is blind. Pick you up, let you down when I wanna go to a place I can hide. You know me, I had plans, but they just disappear to the back of my mind. Oh, can is calling me. They get lost and out of time. I should have seen it glow, but everybody knows that a broken heart is blind. That a broken heart is blind.
And opinion makers, you're listening to Biz Takeouts, the Biz Community Marketing and Media Show on 2OV.fm.
Welcome back to Biz Takeouts. That was the Black Keys with Little Submarines. We're speaking YNR South Africa. We've kind of covered YNR and where it's... Oh, actually, before we get to that, if you've got any questions for Rowena or for myself or YNR SA, you can get us on Twitter. It's hashtag BizTakeouts. So we spoke about YNR, kind of the history, where it's come from, where it's going, the kind of the way it's built up. But I think now we're going to look at kind of the landscape for agencies in South Africa. So, Rowena.
Yes.
Do you think there's this place? Obviously, more agencies are going to the full service offering, but you still get your traditional and digital agencies. Do you think there's space for kind of everyone to play around there, or do you think the traditional are kind of going to move over more into digital? And what's going to happen to the digital agencies?
I think there's definitely space for everyone to play. There's a lovely saying that I'm going to steal from our global CEO, David Sable, and he said about a year ago, everything is digital, but digital isn't everything.
Yes.
And it so beautifully encapsulates, I think, how the industry is moving, but how easy it is for us to lose sight of the fact that it's not only about digital.
Yeah.
For us, it's still about the idea. Everything still revolves around an idea and about fashioning and crafting campaigns that allow us to touch consumers at the various touch points where it's most effective for us to speak with them.
Yes.
Most campaigns, the most effective campaigns, I believe, have a component of traditional that is complemented with a strong digital or strong social marketing activity that directs consumers to do specific things from specific channels.
Yeah. Okay. I always find it weird. Like, as a client, do you find that there are kind of problems creep in where you've got a client who wants to use YNR for one element and they want to use a different agency for a different element, someone who you necessarily don't know, or like, do problems creep in like that?
That does happen sometimes. Sometimes clients want to use a particular agency for a specific discipline because they're the young hot thing on the block. We position ourselves as lead agency and as brand custodians.
Okay.
So it really is our role to advise the client on how best to work with specific disciplines and how to integrate channels within a communication strategy. We tend not to get into the territory. I've done work with this agency, done work with that agency, because everyone deserves a place in the sun, and it's particularly in Cape Town, it's a very small pot.
Completely.
However, we do have a serious responsibility in terms of guiding our clients on where and how they should be sending their resources.
Well, that's another one of the challenges, is if you've got a client who wants, or say there's two agencies now working with one client, and so there's a digital agency and a traditional agency, and the digital agency wants to go one direction, traditional wants to go the other direction, which one do you think should kind of really steer the client?
I think it's got to be informed by what is the best thing for this campaign, for this consumer at this particular time.
Okay.
What is the objective that you're trying to achieve? Is it a short-term sales uplift you're looking for? Is it a long-term brand positioning job you're wanting to do? Each channel offers different pros and cons in terms of how we reach the consumer.
Okay. And then, something which is coming up on our site more and more, and I see it, like, honestly, for this evening's news roundup, there are probably three or four articles based on mobile. How important do you see mobile becoming within Y&R and South Africa as a whole?
Well, within South Africa as a whole, I mean, we all know the numbers.
Yeah.
We all know how many people are accessing internet via mobile. I mean, the numbers are just incredible.
Massive, yeah.
The numbers are massive. And we're doing a lot of work on the internet, but I don't think that we've quite caught up yet in terms of effective, interesting, creative campaigns on mobile. Some people are doing it and doing it really well.
Yeah.
Not everyone's quite caught up to it. Mixit and a lot of one-way messaging seems to be proliferating in that medium at the moment. I think there's a lot of depth that we still need to probe in that space.
Yeah. And then another question, maybe this is a bit of a funny question. What do you think the agency of the future looks like? So we were always talking about traditional and digital. What do you think is the kind of next step for the South African advertising agency landscape?
Yeah. I think that the question probably applies globally.
Yeah.
Because we're so interconnected globally anyway, as are consumers. And I think the agency of the future, Warren, I'm afraid, has less to do with technology and channels than we might think.
Yeah.
I think it's still about the idea. Ideas are still important. I think it's still about creating value exchanges between our clients, brands, and their consumers, and finding the best, most effective, smartest, most impactful way for consumers to get something from their clients' brands.
Okay.
I think it's still about creating meaning, whichever channel you choose to do it in.
Yeah.
I think the technology just provides us with a broader palette on which to paint, but we still got to come up with a concept for the artwork.
Okay, we touched on mobile. And social media, do you find more and more clients are kind of going, I want to be on Facebook, to be on Twitter?
Yes, and the question you've always got to ask,
Yeah.
A lot of them do, and a lot of them are just wanting to go into Facebook because it was yesterday's big thing, but a lot of clients haven't quite caught up to that yet, sadly.
Yeah.
And you've got to, I think, on the one hand, you've got to salute the fact that they're wanting to try new things, but you've got to be quite rigorous with your clients and ask them why.
Yeah.
What are you wanting to achieve, number one? And number two, what is it that you're wanting consumers to do?
Yeah.
And what is it you're wanting to say to consumers?
Okay.
And if you don't have a good answer to any of those questions, then you've got to persuade the client as to why there's a better way or a different way.
Yeah. You've led me beautifully into my next question. When it comes to measurement, do you think clients, do you kind of like say to clients, what are your objectives? This is how we'll measurement. And what are those measurement tools for you? So what are you guys looking at? What do you consider valuable measurement? I know it's dependent on an objective, but what are your kind of standards?
Well, there aren't any standards. There's a principle, and certainly it's a principle at Y&R, which is that measurement is important. Measurement is key. It's the impact of our three I's. And often I find that we tend to ask the question more than the client does.
Okay.
Which can be a little bit worrying, but we won't talk about that today.
Yeah.
What we try and ensure is that there is some means for us to measure the impact of a campaign, and it need not be by spending hundreds and thousands of rands on some research post a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can set your measurements by, with digital it's very easy, you can go how many likes, which I think is offers a certain limited insight into what your campaign's achieved.
You can buy those bad boys, you can buy likes.
But measurement is important. We tend not to have a standard because often it costs.
Mm-hmm.
And often it requires to have a pre-measure in place, and often clients aren't prepared to make that investment.
Of course.
But measurement is key, and we do try wherever we can to try and get a sense of, was there a sales uplift? What percentage increase was it on the same period last year?
Yeah.
As opposed to, oh, that was a lovely ad, and then sit back and go make a cup of tea.
Yes.
It is very important.
Okay.
But we do have to work with our clients to instill in them often the importance of measurement.
And that's why the business people took over from the creatives when Y&R started for the measurement side, I imagine. I'm guessing, I don't know. Creatives don't really care
creatives
about that kind of stuff.
Creatives are still making a cup of tea.
Yeah, exactly. You said something quite interesting there. You said the clients ask questions. What is the most common question that you personally get from clients? Like, where do you think they're like the misconception comes in, and what is it?
Well, around digital and around social media, there's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
The most common question, I guess, would be, why can't I be on Facebook, or why can't I be on Twitter, or how can I be on Facebook, or how can I be on Twitter?
Yeah.
And then you then start asking the questions that we've just discussed.
Yeah.
Clients want to know, you know, how can we make consumers buy our product? And often it's about educating them that there's a series of steps and that there is a concerted sort of program.
Yeah.
In terms of getting consumers to get to know what your brand is, get to understand what it's about, offer them something that gives them a reason to consider it.
Yeah.
That it's not just about, I'll show you an ad and I'll then go buy your brand of bottled water.
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to talk about that. That was a little personal joke that Rowena and I had before this. I think we're starting to touch on the whole client side. So I think let's jump in there. So which clients are you guys working with at the moment? So Y&R SA itself?
Y&R SA, we're working with Pick and Pay, as I've mentioned before, and Anchor, a founder client. We work with Land Rover. We work with Telkom. That's in the Joburg office. In Cape Town, we work with Pick and Pay also, with Chevron, Edward Snell, Playboy.
Nice.
So it's actually quite a nice range of clients from sort of the big corporates,
mm-hmm,
through to some of the smaller players. I don't know if you know this, Warren, but two of the biggest advertising accounts are with Y&R.
Really?
That's Pick and Pay and Telkom.
Okay,
two of the top five.
Wow. And who else are in the top five? What other clients? Do you know? We're not going to guess. Let's talk about those two, let's call them big spenders. So your two biggest clients, do they kind of use you for the full spectrum? So everything from traditional to the print through to digital, social media, everything? Or do they break
pretty
it up?
Pretty much everything, even with Pick and Pay, where we tend to get involved in their store branding, in their CSR sort of initiatives.
Yeah.
So clients are more and more recognizing that Y&R is able to deliver more than just an advertising solution. And I hate to say this, but this is not unique to Y&R.
Yeah.
But not everyone is best placed to be able to provide an extended range, if you like, of offerings to clients.
Yes,
so it's about almost a creative consultancy that goes beyond just here's a lovely ad to what's the best way that we can maximize returns within a particular channel. What can we do for that part of the business?
You're
just looking at getting to understand your client's business really well to see where communication can make an impact, not just advertising.
Yeah. And then of the campaigns you're working with at the moment, are there any really big, juicy, meaty, exciting creative campaigns coming up? Like, can you talk about them? So which are your favorite kind of ones at the moment?
Well, there's something we're particularly proud of at the moment. We have, from the Cape Town office, just launched two new TV commercials for Chevron. One of them was a corporate ad, and we're particularly proud of the fact that for the first time in close on 10 years, the local client has developed an ad here, as opposed to just getting an ad sent over from Global, and we stick a South African voiceover on it. But it's a truly South African conceived, developed, produced here, which we're particularly proud of. We're doing that for another one of our Global clients in production at the moment, so I can't talk about it.
Yeah, okay.
We've just put to bed a beautiful campaign for Pick and Pay, Christmas campaign, which also I can't talk about too much, but you really will see it in store soon.
Oh, don't remind me, Christmas is coming.
People have been talking about it for months.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So there is some really nice stuff. There's a really funky, cheeky campaign running on Facebook at the moment for Movember.
Okay.
For Playboy. It's all about the motion of the Mo,
yes,
Warren.
I actually
apparently.
I did see that today. I am a fan of Playboy on Facebook because I read it for the articles.
Of course.
But
intelligent articles.
Yes, I did see that today, which was very cool. I'm trying to think.
Yes, that's us as well. It's fun and it's quirky and it's challenging and it's...
Yeah, and do you find it more this will be a difficult question for you probably to answer, but do you find it more enjoyable to work on the smaller brands where you kind of get a bit more freedom and a bit more fun, or do you personally find it more enjoyable to work with the big corporate kind of... the big guys?
I think each allows you to do different things. I think from a creative perspective, you often get to do more fun stuff, more edgy stuff, more interesting stuff for the smaller clients who tend to be less risk averse. For the bigger clients, what gets the suits and the strategists really excited is the opportunity to sort of deep dive into their business, to work alongside their analysts, their salespeople, to really get into understanding what drives their business and then find ways for the agency to partner with them in that.
Okay. I think we need to take another quick song, and then when we come back, we'll speak about kind of some of Y&R's achievements, some of the events you're involved in, and then just look at some trends and things that are happening within Y&R. So we will be right back after the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
The Biz Community Marketing and Media Show on 2OZ.FM.
Welcome back to Biz Takeouts. If you do have any questions for Rowena or myself, hashtag Biz Takeouts on Twitter, and we will hopefully get to them. Okay, we kind of covered a lot of the Y&R history, clients, agency landscape. Kind of let's look forward. So what is the next big thing for Y&R SA?
Well, I just want to very quickly spend 2 seconds just talking about what the past year has been, because it's been a big sort of year for Y&R in terms of new business gains. So I've mentioned Telkom. We won Telkom in probably what was one of the biggest pitches in the industry.
Yes, I do remember that. There was lots of PR and news.
Yes,
and yeah.
Yes, we've won Cliff Decker Hoffmeyer, one of the biggest law firms in the country. We've won Beaches, we've won Jaguar, Land Rover and Playboy, I've mentioned. Yeah. And I have mentioned that we now have two of the top five accounts in South Africa. Did I remember to say that?
I think that's the first time you said it. Is that two of the top
five? Two of the top five.
Okay, cool. I've got it.
We've been quite good at winning some awards. I'm not sure how much you're aware. Globally, we appointed a new chief creative officer 3 years ago, Tony Granger.
Okay.
Very well respected, held in high esteem in the industry around the world.
Yeah.
And he's been effecting sort of a creative transformation within the industry. And coupled with that, we have appointed a new chief creative officer in South Africa, Graham Lang, who started around about May last year. So we've been working very hard at transforming the face of our creative product, and I think we've seen some of the awesome new work in the market. You and I have just spoken about Playboy.
Yes, we have. Don't tell people we're on air.
we've been doing quite well in the award stakes for the first time, and while we're picking up some nice stuff, we picked up 2 silver Cannes Lions, we picked up a gold and a silver Lurie this year, we were finalists at Clio.
Okay.
And we've achieved number 1 in best ads rankings for this year, so we're incredibly proud of that.
Well, I actually saw yesterday that Land Rover, which is one of your clients, is in the top 10 brands in South Africa on that Lurie's.
Very proud of that
as
well.
Wow, so that's good as well, yeah.
Yeah. Also, we've had a lot of our people now being appointed to sit on awards juries. So Graham Lang and Rui Alves have been involved in judging DNAD. They've been involved in CAPE and in Apex, Cannes and so on, which also just helps to improve our creative profile and gives us access. Within the network, Y&R South Africa has also been making some waves. We are the fastest growing agency in the Y&R network
at the moment. Brilliant.
Which is 186 offices in 90 countries. Wow. So it's no mean feat.
Yeah.
We're the number 1 agency in the Europe, Middle East, Africa part of the network.
Okay.
Also, no mean feat.
So Y&R SA, do you cover the rest of Africa as well?
Y&R SA is Cape Town, Joburg, Durban.
Durban, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
We've been quite busy. We've launched a blog.
We've been looking at that.
We've moved offices in Cape Town. We've moved offices in Durban. So we've been busy little bunnies this year.
Yes, I'm sure. Okay. I think you've pretty much covered my whole next question about kind of what has happened over the last year, what achievements have been.
All of that.
No, we've only got 10 minutes left. Let's look at the Lurie's particularly. Obviously, the Lurie's is all about the creative side. Do you think measurement comes into the Lurie's at all? Do you think it should be coming into the Lurie's at all?
I think measurement should come into the Lurie's, and in fact, this year a new award was announced, which I think is also a recognition of the fact that the Lurie's has to be about more than creativity. As important as creativity is, we need to have a showing for accountability.
Yes.
And I think the Lurie's has taken a lot of flack, and there was massive drama this year.
Yes,
just
I remember.
Around, you know, is it just a trivial, frivolous agency party, which we know it's not.
Yeah.
And I think the industry has always recognized the importance of creativity. I don't think we've always been that good at communicating to our clients just how important creativity actually is.
Yes.
In terms of helping to achieve breakthrough thinking, in terms of helping to move product, in terms of adding to the bottom line.
Yeah. And then for the next 12 months and 5 years, why not? What's kind of lying ahead for you guys?
Well, for them, we're working very hard. As I've said, we're working on transforming our creative profile. There's a lot of new business that we're looking to pick up. So we're working quite hard in terms of getting out there. We've been quite scientific, and we've been quite considered in terms of analyzing the market, in terms of trying to match industry sectors where we think that there's opportunity with our specific skills base, and where we have a strong global expertise.
Okay.
So we will be working quite hard in terms of trying to get onto the right pitch lists, not just about a shotgun approach in terms of going after every piece of business.
Yeah.
And then just working very hard to partner more effectively with our clients.
Okay. And then what do you think takes, this is where I'm kind of going completely off the topic again, what do you think makes a good campaign go to that next step and become a great campaign? What do you think are those kind of tick boxes that need to be marked?
For me personally, I think there are 2 factors. One is around an idea that is just so incredibly impactful that you can't ignore it. It's something that we try and strive for, so that it makes an impact and it resonates with you in a way that sometimes and often you actually can't explain. But then again, bringing it back to accountability and measurement, where it's had an impact on the client's bottom line.
Yeah.
For me, those are sort of the two indispensable sort of ingredients.
And then you mentioned that YNRSA is one of the fastest growing offices, or whatever, how do you call it, wings of YNR Global.
Yes.
Where do you think South Africa is kind of dominating on that front? So are there any specific platforms or elements where South Africa, so for example, mobile, do you think the rest offices kind of looking at South Africa and going, ooh, we should take some of that? Is that happening?
I think there's a bit of that happening. I think, though, what we're starting to see is a bit of a realignment globally in terms of companies looking at where the markets. An understandable sort of side effect or part of the impact of the global recession. So the developing markets, everyone knows, is where the growth is going to come from. So that we have seen a lot of focus shifting to developing markets. Budgets are being pushed back by some of the multinational, by some of the global companies into developing markets. So places like South Africa are going to become sort of quite important centers.
Yeah. And which markets do you personally look at to kind of inspire you and get ideas from? Where in the world are you looking?
Well, again, it depends on which industry we're looking to. It depends. It really does depend.
So if you're looking at your big boys, so I think you said you've got two of the top five biggest accounts in South Africa. So if you're looking at those guys, where are you looking for inspiration?
Pick and Pay, Pick and Pay with retail, there's so much coming out of the East, isn't there? Always.
Yes,
coming out of the East in terms of just how retailers are engaging with consumers, because, just the market over there is just absolutely phenomenal, and it's teaching us so much.
Okay.
So much learning coming out of the East.
Okay, so you guys are looking at the East. So when you say East China, that side of the world. We are running out of time. I think just before we go, I've got two more things for you. Number one is, actually three more things. I take it we'll see you at all the major events next year for Lurie's, all of the big
Absolutely.
Ones.
Absolutely.
I expect to have a tequila with you.
We shall do our best to have a tequila with you, Warren.
Yes. Number two is, if someone wants to get hold of you or someone at YNR, if someone's interested in YNR, who can they get hold of?
The easiest contact point is probably via our blog site, which is whyweare.co.za.
Okay.
All our contact details on the blog.
Okay, so if someone wants to get hold of you, they can go through there. And the last question for you, and I was going to say arm wrestling, but I think that might be a bit unfair. So in a 100-meter sprint, if you were wearing one of those unitards with those spiked shoes on, together with Jerome Steyer, who would win a 100-meter sprint?
Well, he'd win, but I'd look better.
You'd look better.
I'd look better.
Thank you so much for coming through to the show tonight. You've been great. It's been a great interview.
Great to be here.
Thank you. And that was Rowena Fester, who is the Cape Town Business Unit Director for YNR Advertising. And that was Biz Takeouts tonight. And we will catch you next week, same time.